This is too loud. I notice sometimes the classes are distorted. I think it's because this mic is too loud sometimes. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashodanandana Braja Janarandana Yashodanandana Braja Janarandana Yamuna Kiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari His Divine Grace, Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. Dantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hidhigol Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki jai. All grace to the Asamadavarti. All grace to the Asamadavarti. All grace to the Asamadavarti. All grace to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, text number 17. Word meanings: Ayu, duration of life; Hariti, decreases; Vai, certainly; Pungsang, of the people; Udyan, rising; Astam, setting; Cha, also; Yan, moving; Asav, the sun; Tasya, of one who glorifies the Lord; Rite, except; Yat, by whom; Kshana, time; Nita, utilized; Uttama Shloka, the all-good personality of Godhead; Vartaya, in the topics of.
Ayur Hariti Vai Pungsam.
Ayur Hariti Vai
Ujjanastam Chayannasa Tasyarte Yakshanonita Uttama Shloka Vartaya Ayurhariti Vaipungsam Ujjanastam Chayannasa Tasyarte Yakshanonita Uttama Shloka Vartaya Ayurhariti Vaipungsam Ujjanastam Chayannasa Tasyate Yakshanonita Uttama Shloka Vartaya Translation and purport. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. This is Shonaka Rishi who's speaking now. Purport. This verse indirectly confirms the great importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. Time and tide wait for no man, so the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. A living being, especially a human being, is seeking happiness because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. Once a person comes into contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:40, the Lord has explained such contact in the following words: endeavors in devotional service are never baffled, nor is there a failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord injected through the ear of the pure devotee of the Lord can act very efficiently. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization, just as a fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts. This realization for a moment in the association of pure devotees like Shukadeva Goswami prepares one's complete life for eternity. And thus the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life, inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subjected to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. The materialistic way of pious activities like charity is recommended in the Smriti Shastras, as quoted by Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. Such charity is recommended to be given to a brahmana. If the money is given in charity to a non-brahmana without brahminical qualification, the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. If it is given in charity to a half-educated brahmana, even then the money is returned double. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified brahmana, the money is returned 100 and 1,000 times. And if the money is given to a Veda Paraga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, it is returned by unlimited multiplication. The ultimate end of Vedic knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Sarvair Aham Eva Vedyaha. There is a guarantee of monies being returned if given in charity, regardless of the proportion. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. Baddhama gatva punar janmana vidyate. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Om Adhyana Timirandhasya Adhyana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Ayur Hariti Vaipum Sam Ujjana Stancha Yannaso Tasyarte Yakshano Nita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. You could say that this verse summarizes our life of Krishna consciousness, how we use our time. Prabhupada over and over and over again told us, don't waste a moment. I actually want to read some more. I had many, many quotes from Prabhupada about this topic, how we must use our time in Krishna consciousness, especially about not wasting time with prajalpa, mundane things. Here's a pretty straightforward one. This is from the fifth canto, purport, 5.12.13 purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has strictly prohibited his devotees to talk about worldly matters. Now, when I was thinking about this verse, there's a principle in Vedic instruction, anvaya vyatireka. Anvaya is the positive and vyatireka is the negative. So we have, for example, Satatam Vishnu, what is it? Satatam Vishnu, Smarta, yeah, what's the first line? What's the first line? First word? Smartavya satatam Vishnu, or Vismartavya najatuchi. Okay. So it says, always remember Vishnu, or Krishna, and never forget him. So you think, well, this is redundant. If you're always remembering him, then you're never going to forget him. But we find this often, this technique, this rhetorical device, you can say, to say it in a positive way and say it in a negative way. So that, I was thinking this idea kind of comes up here too. Use your time in glorifying the Supreme Lord, and don't use your time doing other things. Don't waste your time doing other things. So Prabhupada, he often speaks in that way too. Shonaka Rishi is especially expressing on the positive side, but we also hear the negative side. Don't waste your time doing other things. So here Prabhupada, he says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has strictly prohibited his devotees to talk about worldly matters. So the prohibition is the negative, you can say. Gramya Varta na kahibe. Well, this Varta, this word Varta, it's actually in this verse, the topics. The word is used in Sanskrit to mean news, Varta also. Varta Patrika is a Sanskrit way of saying newspaper. So Varta means the news. So, gramya varta na kahibe means don't listen to the village news, the village talk. So continuing with Prabhupada's purport in fifth canto. One should not indulge in talking unnecessarily about news of the material world. One should not waste time in this way. This is a very important feature in the life of a devotee. A devotee has no other ambition than to serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Krishna consciousness movement was started to engage people 24 hours daily in the service of the Lord and in His glorification. Students in this institution engage in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness from 5 in the morning to 10 at night. They actually have no opportunity to waste their time unnecessarily in discussing politics, sociology, and current events. These will go their own way. A devotee is concerned only with serving Krishna positively and seriously. So there are many other places where we find this same point being made by Srila Prabhupada. In the Manasiksha also, Raghunath Das Goswami in his fourth verse, he talks about varta, mundane, asad varta, vaishya, first three words of the first line. Asad varta vaishya. So again, varta means the news, and asad means news of the material world. How does he characterize it? Vaishya. Vaishya means a prostitute. So, and then he says, how does it go? Mati sarvasva harini. It will steal away all of your intelligence if you associate with this prostitute. This prostitutes, what are they interested in? They're interested in money, of course. So they sometimes steal from their clients. Of course, they're stealing just by the very act of what they're doing in some sense. But that dishonesty is there. There's nothing beneficial to be gained by association with a prostitute. So that's the idea here. The talk of mundane things is like a prostitute. Nothing good is going to come of it. So again, Prabhupada he was very serious about this. There's a conversation in LA in 1973, a morning walk. Rupanuga Prabhu was talking to Prabhupada about politics, the ISKCON devotees getting involved in politics. And one point he makes is that he said, well, but we have to get votes somehow. But people who are devotees, they don't vote. They're not interested in those things. So how are we going to get votes? All the people that might side with us, they don't vote because they're not interested. So Prabhupada says, he says, I don't believe in voting a rascal, Rupanuga. Yes, that's what they tell me. Prabhupada, I never did. Rupanuga, yes. Prabhupada, I never did. In my household life, I never voted for anyone. Anyone, I avoided. Sometimes they used to come with their car to take me there. I avoided, yes. So that was Prabhupada's opinion about it. I know sometimes, you know, that encouragement is there. I have to say my own humble opinion is devotees shouldn't vote. First of all, actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is reading in one of his essays. He says, we can't change this material world one iota. It's an illusion to think that we can change anything. Actually, even statistically, one person's vote is meaningless. That's why politicians try to get big voting blocks. So you can't change this material world. I've read of some of B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, Prabhupada's godbrother also. And he always makes the point, you can't change your environment. You have to live to change yourself in the environment, because that you can't change the environment. In other words, the material world isn't going to change. There's nothing you can do about it. It's running under Krishna's will. It's running according to karma and so on. So there's nothing you can do about it. And of course, in relationship to voting, if you really want to be a voter, then you have to be an informed voter. So how much time? Of course, people usually aren't informed voters. They just vote, you know, according to their emotions. But to be a good voter, you should really research what are the politicians' policies, will it be beneficial or not. And of course, that's again, Bhaktisiddhanta's opinion would be that actually it doesn't matter. The material world is going to go on the way it is, so we shouldn't bother with these things. So of course that means, well, then what do we do? Then we should always be talking about Krishna. That, of course, is part of our sadhana, our activities in Krishna consciousness, our bhajan, our sadhana. I often think of, now I haven't seen this written this way, but it's kind of a way that I put it in my own mind, is that you have bhajana kriya, then you have anartha nivritti. So we have two kinds of anarthas, well, at least two kinds, but two, you could categorize that we have the category of the things that we do. We have to clean those up first, and we have to clean up our lives and stop doing certain things and then do certain things. So I was thinking, well, that's actually part of bhajana. Those are anarthas if we don't do the right thing. But as soon as you begin bhajana or sadhana, you're supposed to stop doing all the external things, all the nonsense that you were doing. In fact, I always think it's kind of interesting. We talk about, you know, we're trying to work towards surrender. But as soon as you get initiated, you're supposed to be completely surrendered. You turned your life over to the spiritual master. He says, do this, don't do that, and you have to do what he says. So right away, we're supposed to stop doing so many things. Tyagena Krishna Hetave, and one of the first six principles of devotional service in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The last one says you may have to give up, you have to sacrifice, you have to change things in your life you may not want to change, for the cause of Krishna, for becoming Krishna conscious. We come to Krishna consciousness, and in the beginning we have this idea, oh, I'm going to have to change my life now. I remember thinking, whoa, this is going to be really hard, but I was convinced philosophically, this really seems to be the bona fide path for attaining love of God, so I'll have to, you know, throw away my whatever, things that are bad for me, bad for my spiritual life, and stop doing them. So I was thinking these kind of gross anarthas or physical anarthas, things that we do, our acts that we perform, those should actually be taken care of in bhajana kriya. And then anartha nivritti, then you really start digging in there, in the heart, in the subtle things. I was just reading the cleanse of the Gundicha temple, so that's the purport of that pastime. First Lord Chaitanya had everybody clean with brooms, hundreds of devotees were cleaning this temple. And they swept two or three times, and everybody had their own little pile. You know how it's described, that pastime. And Lord Chaitanya was inspecting everyone's piles. And then the ones that had real small piles, he said, "Oh, you've done very nice. Maybe you can teach the others." He used some sarcasm. Lord Chaitanya was being sarcastic to shame him. Actually, Prabhupada said he was making them ashamed. So he was shaming them into doing the right thing. And he said that Lord Chaitanya's pile was bigger than all the other ones put together. So he's demonstrating that, you know, there's this wonderful purport there where Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he lists some of these different things like pratishtasya and kutinati and all of these things that are within the heart, contaminating our heart. So these have to be cleansed away. The metaphor is there that there's a throne in our heart and we need to clean it so that Krishna will come there and reside there. Or Prabhupada says he's always there, but we have to make it a more inviting place for him, make it clean. Unfortunately now, there's someone that's trying to kick Krishna, our ahankar. Our ahankar has taken over the throne, unfortunately. And it doesn't want to move, doesn't want to leave. I'm reading this Mana Shiksha of Raghunath Das Goswami. So it's instructions to the mind. And I have to say, my mind doesn't like hearing those instructions. They're very straightforward. Of course, they're also for, you know, devotees. They're for really serious devotees who really want to make spiritual advancement and, you know, get into higher levels of Krishna consciousness. So the mind is always struggling, always fighting. And that's, of course, that's natural. As long as we're still in the consciousness that I am this body, then we're going to want to do so many other things that aren't going to help us in Krishna consciousness. That's the struggle that's going on within us. This 10th offense against the holy name. You know, I sometimes think about the 10 offenses. Some of them you think, well, that's not really a big problem. I don't think that Lord Shiva is Krishna, or, you know, certain things. I don't think that chanting is karma kanda activity. But the last one is a tough one. To be inattentive while chanting, to maintain material attachments. Now the way it's usually, the translation there in the Harinam Chintamani is to still have the conception that I'm this body. So unfortunately that's going to stay. We have to try to get rid of it. We're trying to get rid of it, but it's there. This ties into, why do we want to hear the news? Why do we want to hear other things? Because we think we're this body. That's why. That's why that attraction is there. We still think, deep down inside, that I am this body. Because we're conditioned souls still. So that attraction is there, that pull is there. We think Prabhupada began this purport by saying we're trying to get our happiness on the outside instead of through Krishna consciousness. So why are we still doing that? Because we think we're this body. As soon as we, that attraction for anything in the material world, that means that I think that I'm this body still. If I want to hear what's going on in here or there or whatever, actually there's another quote here. It's an interesting one. See if I have it. Anyway, Prabhupada's talking about here. He said, because of course the whole side of this is prajalpa, as Prabhupada's talking about in his purport, what prajalpa is. So he has a wonderful purport in the Upadeshamrita about prajalpa. But here's in the course of one lecture, Prabhupada says, prajalpa means talking all nonsense. Suppose politics. Prabhupada railed against politics a lot. He didn't like politicians very much. He called them old fossils. Old fossils. Of course, fossils are old by definition, but anyway. Suppose politics. What Mr. Nixon did yesterday, or what did he say? So what interest we have got in Mr. Nixon? We shall not waste our time talking this politics, that politics, this sociology, this cinema, this affair. No, we have nothing to do with that. That is called prajalpa, unnecessary talking. Talking means decreasing your duration of life, talking. So why should you decrease your life unnecessarily? Every moment you have to utilize, whether it is used for Krishna, this is sadhana. Prabhupada gave one class on this verse that's recorded, and it's in the Veda base, this Ayurvedic Vaipungsan, today's verse. And he makes this point, of course it's there, he says, the sun is taking away your life, but if you're hearing about Krishna, then it doesn't take away your life. You're going to live forever. You get immortality. He keeps referring to this, immortality. I want to read a few excerpts from that class. Prabhupada's some very nice things. He says, so if we pass our time simply by reading and talking about Krishna, then the sun will not be able to take away our life. So of course, this is the solution. In order not to talk prajalpa, talk nonsense, then you talk about Krishna. Reading and talking about Krishna, that's how you fill. If you don't want your glass to be full of ink, then you fill it full of milk, right? He says, this is the secret. So this is the secret, how not to talk prajalpa, you talk about Krishna. If you want to become immortal, then always be engaged in Krishna Katha. Always, 24 hours, always think of Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. So let me just read a few. These are all from that lecture. Hearing must be from sadhu, from devotee, from the lips of the devotee. Just like Shukadeva Goswami was speaking to Maharaj Pariksit. Or even if you hear yourself, you read books, you will save your life. If you simply read Krishna book or Bhagavad Gita or teachings of Lord Chaitanya, as long as you are reading, the sun is unable to take your life. It is not possible for the sun to take your life. So if you constantly read, then where is the opportunity of suns taking your life? That means you are becoming immortal. So this is the simple process. So don't waste your time by talking nonsense. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has advised, atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha prajalpa. Any living entity, as soon as they will gather, they will talk all nonsense. Don't do that. We have got great assembly. We have got great facility for mixing. But if you take advantage of this assembly to talk all nonsense, what is politics? What is this? What is that? Prajalpa. That is called prajalpa. This is the secret. Always talk of Krishna. And you must know that you are saving yourself. You are not dying yourself. Because talking of Krishna means you will understand about Krishna. And Krishna says, anyone who understands me rightly, then after giving up this body, he comes to me. So this is one argument Prabhupada was making. And as soon as you go to him, back to home, back to Godhead, your life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. That is Satchidananda Vigraha. If you have now spare time, don't sit idly. If there is no facility for reading books or talking about Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If you have got next moment, you can interchange, read something. Always be busy with Krishna. Then sun will not be able to kill you. You are going to live forever. This is the process. So Prabhupada was encouraging us in that way. The sun doesn't have to take away your life, as it's doing for everyone else. You'll become immortal. But in Vishwanath Chakra, actually it's referred to at the end of this purport. It says, Prabhupada ends it, a devotee is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. This purport, by the way, follows Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's very closely. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes this point about, well, what about the devotees? If people might ask, you're saying you're becoming immortal, but we see that devotees are dying, and we also see, of course, old age, disease, and death. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in addressing this point, answering this theoretical question, he says, the devotee's old age, death, and sickness appear by the will of the Lord. So there, he gives three reasons so that this question comes. But why are devotees sick, and why do they get old, and why do they die? Even though we read in this purport today how becoming purified, and you don't actually die. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, the devotee's old age, death, and sickness appear by the will of the Lord for increasing his longing for the Lord. That's the first reason he gives. For letting the opinions of others not being destroyed. So this, I thought, what does that mean? for letting the opinions of others not be destroyed. So Bhanu Swami, he gives an explanation of that. He says, Jnanis think the karmas of this life can be destroyed only by experiencing them. So not to refute them, they think, no, you have to suffer your karma, even if you chant Hare Krishna, whatever you do. So Krishna allows the devotees to apparently experience these things. So the karmakanda bodies, they can say, see, even you're chanting Hare Krishna, still you're getting their karma. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this is one of the reasons why Krishna allows devotees to apparently suffer and die. Keep the karmis happy. And then the third thing he says, why Krishna does it is for protecting the confidential nature of his devotees. These things are not caused by time or karma. So protecting the confidential nature of devotees. Because Krishna has this intimate relationship with his devotees, he is their heart and they are his heart. He doesn't do anything independent of them. And devotional service is extremely confidential. It's not available to everyone. You have to qualify yourself. Even to understand it, you have to qualify yourself. Because it's the highest thing there is in reality. So to protect it, protect his devotees. Devotees also, they don't exhibit themselves. They don't exhibit their opulences. They don't want the fanfare, the reputation. Like Madhavendra Puri, he went to hide after the Kir Chor Gopinath gave him the Kir. He said, people are going to hear about this and they're all going to want to come and get my autograph. So he went and hid out in the marketplace. So to protect the devotees in that way, that's another reason why Krishna, he makes it look like they're suffering like everybody else. But the point here is that if you engage in uttama shloka varta, then you'll become free from that. The sun isn't taking away your life. So, I'll read the verse again. Ayur harati vai pungsam udyanastam chayanaso tasyarte yakshano nita uttama shloka vartaya. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except the one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. I was saying, of course, devotees are on different levels. We just say a devotee. In some sense, Krishna consciousness can just be a religion. My religion is I'm a Hare Krishna. But then there are serious sadhakas, and we have many serious sadhakas, advanced souls in our movement. So you have to decide, whether you want to be an official Hare Krishna, which is nice, and obviously there's some benefit to that. But if you really want the full benefit, of course, yeyatamambapadyante tantatayvajamyaham, whatever you give. That's why the one before, I was saying it's not so easy to go back to Godhead. Just chant 16 rounds, follow the principles, and automatically just go back to Godhead. Well, that would seem to contradict yeyatamambapadyante tantatayvajamyaham, because not everyone is applying themselves the same. You're going to get your reward according to how hard you're trying, really, how much you want. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. That's the point I was also making. What do you want? Krishna's going to give you what you want. And what we have to do is we have to come to the point of wanting only Krishna. Then we'll get Krishna. Otherwise, he'll give us so many other things. So we have to, it's a question, we have to decide how serious we'll be. Now, I keep adding to my false ending. Not good to give false endings. But I was thinking in the Madhurya Kadambani. That title, by the way, is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where he talks about the steps to prema. So Madhurya Kadambani means the cloud bank of sweetness. So the sweetness is there in our bhajan. But we see there that at certain stages, there are going to be anarthas, there are going to be problems. It's part of the you can't expect it from day one. You're going to jump right up, you know, and get into Nishta. No, we have these anartas. They're there as a result of our past activities, so we have to work our way through them. So we can understand, well, some people are going to be struggling. For example, one of the he has a list, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, Anishita Bhajana Kriya, which means the bhajana is sometimes not fixed. So people have certain, you know, attachments, so they may not progress. So we can see that people are at different stages. So not everyone is going to be as dedicated as everyone else. But one of those problems in the beginning is you have initial enthusiasm, but then it begins to die. You know, you get some real jolt in the beginning of enthusiasm. You've discovered the truth. You've discovered the truth of life, and you want to pursue it wholeheartedly. But then after some time, you don't get Krishna in 6 months, and you say, oh, I don't know, maybe something else. So these things are natural. That's why association is so important, and repeated hearing is so important, so we can always get rejuvenated and get re-enthused and inspired. All right, anyone like to add or subtract? Mr. Shane and Prabhu.
Yeah. Hari Bol. The purport, every sentence in there was, you could expand on.
Yeah.
But I picked one, if you could look at it. It's toward the end. Oral reception implies
fructification. Oh yeah, complete, it's an interesting sentence.
Yeah.
I think it was toward the beginning, actually, isn't it? Yeah, oral reception implies complete realization. Oh, here it is. It's in the middle. Oral reception of the transcendental message implies total realization, just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all parts. Kind of a head-scratcher, that sentence, isn't it? Yeah, actually, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur talks about that a little bit, too. He says, it's a metaphor, obviously. He says, it is said that when one branch of the tree bears fruit, the whole tree becomes successful. So you plant a tree, and it's not, you know, full of peaches, but at least you got one branch, you got some peaches out of it. So it is said that when one branch of the tree bears fruit, the whole tree becomes successful. What then to speak of all the branches bearing fruit? If one spent one's whole life absorbed in Krishna topics, how wonderful it would be. So this is because the point here, he says, if you just hear one time, this came up in the purport, you associate with the pure devotee and you hear from that pure devotee, then your life is successful, at least eventually, you're going to go back to Godhead, you're going to get Krishna. So imagine, if one moment is so valuable, imagine if you use all your moments of your life in hearing about Krishna. That's the idea, hard to understand it.
Oh wow, that's totally different from what I was
thinking.
So just one moment of hearing makes the whole tree
successful.
Successful. Maybe read Prabhupada's line again.
Prabhupada
says, that we've heard that.
Oral realization, that's A-U-R-A-L, through the, we also get O-R-A-L realization too, taking prasadam. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization. Just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts. So then he says, this realization for a moment in the association of pure devotees like Shukadeva Goswami prepares one's complete life for eternity. Another thing I found a little hard to follow is it probably uses the word pure devotee here. And you wonder if he's talking about Shukadeva Goswami or the person, just because he says the pure devotee is always engaged in devotional service, purifying his existence. Well, he's a pure devotee. How is he purifying his existence? He's already completely pure. So I think maybe the idea is that, well, yeah, everything he does is pure.
Or pure in intention. They're not doing it to get something else. They're only doing it for purification.
Yeah.
Isn't purified means directing towards Krishna? So even if I'm purified, I'm still directing my thought towards Krishna. So it's constant purified.
Well, but literally purify means to make pure. So I'm making my existence pure by ceto darpana marginam. That's what purifying means, ceto darpana marginam. Purifying means cleaning. So that's why it kind of took me a little bit, like, maybe Prabhupada's talking about sadhana bhaktas, because he also talked about sadhana bhaktas as pure devotees many times, you'll find. Because we're not mixing in jnana and karma in our practice. So it can be taken that way also. Pure devotees because we're in the process of pure devotional service.
So that tree ties into the I forget if the section was before or after, it says, you give money to someone, it's guaranteed bank balance in next life, but if you give it to this level of a Brahmin...
Yeah, that great. Example comes later.
But then, yeah, it seems like that's what this is about. Is that... And he quotes Vishwanath, says this.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about degrees, yeah, degree of fructification of a tree, that, yeah, the same point is... First I read this, I said, what is Prabhupada talking... Why is he talking about giving and charity and what the results are? So the whole point is that just like if you give money to somebody, you get some return on your investment. So obviously the more you give or the more qualified the recipient of that donation is, the more you get in return. So that's the idea. Even if you give one moment to Krishna, you're going to get something back. But if you give your whole life to Krishna, then you're going to get, you know, unlimitedly more.
Your
result is going to come quicker, too.
You give your attention. That's your charity. You're giving your attention to a pure devotee, and then what is that? Veda Paraga, and then the next step was
Paraga. Yeah, Veda Paraga. Yeah, yeah. Well, there are different ways that we give, but obviously, your time. Obviously, Prabhupada's talking about here.
Yeah.
And one way of giving your time is by giving your attention. Of course, time is money. Prabhupada quoted. No, what did he say? Time and tie wait for no man. Oh, that's when he quoted. I was thinking time is money. So that's another one. That's another expression. Time is money. That's why I get people get paid for their time. So you also, if you give money to Krishna, that's another way of giving.
This is one of the benedictions of the Bhagavatam. One who, with undeviating attention, constantly recites this literature at every moment of every hour, as well as one who faithfully hears even one verse, or half a verse, or a single line, or even a half a line, certainly purifies his very self. So, yeah, it says purity, and it says you have a choice. You can do only one, or you can do it constantly.
The idea is even a real moment gives purification. There's that verse earlier in the first chapter of this canto. What is the value of a life, a prolonged life that is wasted? Better a moment of
Kim Pramattasya Bahubi.
Yeah. Kim Pramattasya Bahubi. So even one moment has eternal value. Has eternal value, even though it's one moment. So the idea is not that, okay, I'll just give one moment, then I'll go to the bar. No, we give all. We try to give all the moments to Krishna. Because it takes away. Actually, I didn't even get in this. That line from the Manasiksha from the verse 4, the second part of the verse says that this prostitute, she steals away your intelligence. Hearing mundane things steals away your spiritual intelligence. So it actually has, it's not that it's just bad because you're not hearing about Krishna, but it actually has this detrimental effect that it actually saps your Krishna, your realizations. In other words, it makes you realize you're this body. Think more that this body. I also have this little quote. You may not know this story of Prabhupada and Time, what he said about Time magazine. This is actually from Toshan's memoirs. Oh, here it is. No, but it's in Hari Suri's diary. It's not too long. It shows again what Prabhupada's position was on this. He says, before the Trans-India, this was in New York, 1976, when Prabhupada was there for Rath Yatra, and there was an interview by a newspaper called Trans-India. It said, before the Trans-India interview, one of the devotees had supplied Srila Prabhupada a Time magazine to give him an idea of what type of magazine Trans-India was. After the departure of the interviewer, Prabhupada browsed through Time magazine for a few minutes. Looking up from his desk and pushing the magazine away to its edge, he told me, "No one should read these magazines. They are presented in such a way that it makes the material world appear as if it is real." So this is the, you know, the detriment of mundane katha, that it actually makes us think, yeah, I'm an American, this is part of, you know, it's really important who the president is. Unfortunately, I confess I know way too much about what's going on. I think back in my brahmacharya years, I hardly even knew who the president of the United States was. And I had no idea what the heck was going on in the country. You know. But I didn't suffer. It didn't hurt me at all that I didn't know anything about what was going on in the Congress, what the politicians were arguing about. So, you know, I mean, people, you know, devotees say, no, how can we just be ignorant? We can't just be ignorant. Well, you can be, actually. You know, maybe, okay. See, the problem is we're always looking for excuses. We're always looking for rationalization. Well, see, you don't need to read the magazines, but I do because, you know, whatever. But, you know, again, we like to make excuses because of our ahankar, because we think we're this body, we're attached to this material world. It's really hard to get rid of these. I was listening to a class by Bhakti Vijnana Maharaj, and he was talking about, you know, these five things, the tamas, the ignorance that Brahma creates in the beginning, and how these things are we're just overpowered by them. We're just in their grip. The tamas and whatever they are, I forget what they are. These five kinds of nescience. I remember there's a morning walk where Prabhupada, somebody said to Prabhupada, they were talking about devotees, you know, struggling, and they mentioned something about somebody not being able to chant their 16 rounds, and Prabhupada said, that means he is tightly in the grip of material nature. So, you know, Maya's got us in her grip, and we can't give her, we're giving her more strength. Of course, she doesn't need any help. But we're weakening ourselves, you can say. In our war against Maya, we're weakening our defenses by, you know, getting involved in these things. I mean, Prabhupada makes it clear. I mean, I just quoted a few things, but it's all, especially you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, and practically every lecture, he makes the same point about don't waste the human form of life. You know, he makes that point practically every lecture. Take this seriously. Don't waste your human form of life. Don't waste a moment. Over and over and over again, Prabhupada made that same point. So anyway, that's what you can say. That's the bottom line. I mean, we all know this, right? We know this. But then sometimes we say, well, that's okay. That's okay. Whatever, just like, you know, eating certain things, that's okay. Going to restaurants, that's not breaking the regulative principles. It's, you know, that's okay. That's not one of the four regulative principles. Yeah, actually, that's another whole side of it. I did some research one time. It's very interesting, actually, that Prabhupada, these, you know, wasting time, Prabhupada included it under the broad umbrella of gambling, actually. He would put these things together. Like, here's one quote. He says, finally, you should not take part in any gambling, including so-called sports, cinema, theater, or any such entertainment. So if you take the word including literally, Prabhupada is saying that these things are gambling. Then there's another quote, I don't know, he probably says, no gambling, not even bingo. I guess they have bingo in India too. Yeah, so there are quite a few places actually where you look at it. And he also, my initiated students are strictly forbidden to indulge in the following, and he gives the four regulative principles. And then four, he says, gambling or idle sports of any sort. And also, actually, I saw this in Manmohini's letter to her, Manmohini Dasi, where Prabhupada said, no gambling or mental speculation. Okay. He included mental speculation in there. So basically, in some sense, I mean, Prabhupada usually just said gambling, no gambling, no gambling. But there are quite a few places where basically didn't want to do any mundane thing, you know, any mundane thing that's a waste of time. We're not supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be Krishna conscious all the time. Of course, it also, I mean, of course, you know, depending on your stage at life, your young, yeah, I think sometimes young married devotees, they're raising children, and you know, that involves a lot of interaction with this material world. Or if you have your occupation, actually there's another whole topic I was going to get into, the three kinds of bhakti. So one of those is called Sangha Siddha Bhakti. That's like your occupation, because you connect it somehow to Krishna. But strictly speaking, it's not one of the nine processes of devotional service, going to work and punching a clock. It's not. So there is a difference between these things. So naturally, in our lives, the way, you know, Vedic culture is actually set up in that way. Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. You're going to be more renounced, supposedly, in Vanaprastha and Sannyas life. But still, whatever situation we're in, we're meant to make the best of it, and do the best we can, and live our lives responsibly. What is that in the nectar of devotion? The devotee is not negligent in the ordinary course of affairs. So that means the devotees do their duties according to their stage in life. But we have to judge ourselves, what freedom do I have to give as much direct time as possible to hearing and chanting about Krishna. And there's a purport to one of Vrishabhdev's early verses where Prabhupada says that the devotee has an occupation so that he can make money, so that he can live to engage in the nine processes of devotional service. Basically, that's what he said. We work so that we can live to chant Hare Krishna. Basically, that's the point that Prabhupada made. That's what our occupations are about. All right, I don't want to go on and on. This is a big topic. I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, should we? All right. Abhigya.
Do you have time for another question?
Yeah, the 4th of July. We can have all the time we want, right? Independence Day. We'll be I'll act independently today. Take up your time.
Thank you, Prabhupada, for a nice class. My question is, yes, we should think that we are not this body, we are soul. But at the same time, preservation of this body is also our duty. So somehow, a lot of mundane discussions are also related with the preservation of this body. For example, you know, if we talk about politics, politics. Yeah. So you know, the political leaders, yes. But you know, we are all talking about making a country strong. So if we select the right political leaders, we'll make the country strong. That way, somehow, you know, our preservation of this body and our family. You know, if leaders are not good, then yes, we should involve in a kind of a revolution so that you know again we can make our country strong, so that we can you know preserve our body and family and society. So is it that? Not correct, you know, if we are...
Yes, it's not correct. It's not correct. You missed my point from Bhaktisiddhanta. You can't change things one iota. Everything's going to happen. What happened when Prabhupada went to Bhaktisiddhanta? Prabhupada was a real staunch Gandhi, and, you know, he was wearing the khadi, and he was the whole thing, following Gandhi, kick out the British. He didn't take his diploma, graduated from college. You know, it was a big thing, actually, what he did. It was a big protest against the British, because he went to a British school. He didn't want that tainted, you know, graduation certificate, his bachelor or whatever it was. He rejected it. Why? Because he wanted to get rid of the British. So when he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was into it. He was a committed Gandhian, committed to getting the British out of India, committed to Indian independence. And what did Bhaktisiddhanta say? No, you have to use your time for spreading Lord Chaitanya's movement. Don't waste your time with this. This is too important, chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada's point is, no, chanting Hare Krishna is more important. You don't have time to talk about politics. Even if you look at that way, even if you think that your opinion is so important and you're so powerful that you can change the course of the United States, you don't have time to waste. That's Prabhupada's point. And again, Bhaktisiddhanta said, you can't change anything anyway, so what? We're just looking for excuses so we can talk about something besides Krishna. That's our problem. We think we're this body. We think it matters. It doesn't matter. We have our own karma. What happens to the United States, it's going to happen. You think, it's like, you know, this huge, you know, tidal wave. is carrying everything, and we're going to adjust something? No. Time and tide wait for no man, I probably quoted in the beginning. Time is destiny, the word is used there, kala, daiva, there's so many words for destiny and time, they're synonymous. Time is God. In other words, to put it simply, God has his plans and your tiny plans don't make any difference. You're trying to fiddle with it, not going to make any difference. So we don't have time to waste, that's Prabhupada's point. So, forget the politics, chant Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Time and tide.